All right, everybody, welcome to the town council meeting tonight. It is August 1st. I still can't believe we're August. And we have a quorum. Ray is not here yet, but we have John Verant on Zoom, Gladys, and myself, and Josh. So legally, we do have a quorum if Ray's busy and out writing tickets or something, I guess.
Saving lives.
All right. First, before we even start anything, I want everybody to know this is going to be a 2-hour meeting. So if we don't get through stuff, guess what? Just fly into next month. So just putting that out there at the beginning. First of all, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. If everybody will stand, take your hats off and
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Next, we're going to approve the agenda. Has everybody taken a look at the agenda?
Gladys will make a motion. We approve the agenda as presented.
Do I have a second?
Josh will second.
All in favor say aye. Those opposed say no.
Aye.
You want to start off, John?
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. Okay. Agenda is approved. Next is our disclosure for a conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest that needs to be disclosed? Okay. That's a good thing. We'll move on. All right. The only minutes that we have tonight to approve are our special meeting. Hopefully everybody had a chance to take a look at them. The only thing I saw on the that I could correct was the E. Some E was on there. It was a clerical error. It's just a little E that needs to be taken out. Other than that, John, do you have something?
I just made two corrections online on the online verdict. My name was misspelled. There were a couple typos.
It does that.
Okay, so they are typos. Okay. All right. Other than that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes with the two corrections.
Gladys will make motion to approve the minutes as presented. Yes, the corrections on the typos.
I'll second.
All right. It's been approved and seconded that we approve the minutes with the corrections. All in favor say aye. All opposed say no.
John, aye.
Okay. Gladys,
yes. Hi. Judy, yes. All right. Moving on to the department reports. John, since you're online, we'll start with you and just work our way this way. Is that okay?
Okay, real good. Thank you. I did put a copy of the road log, projects log up there on the website. If anyone wants to look at it, they're there. I'll be periodically updated. Right now, nothing on the roads needs action. Other than a item when we talk about town council, our town employee duties, we have an item, you know, to do some brush trimming, and we also have some signs that need to be fixed and installed. And Corey said he's glad to do it, but just wants to be told that that is part of his duty. So when we talk about town employee duties, or we can do it now, we can decide whether that's appropriate to ask Corey to do those things. From the Arts Council, I don't know if Tina is, I talked to Cheryl. She said that they had done a workshop on ADA accessibility of the town buildings. I don't know if Tina is available to speak on that. She said Tina might be here there tonight. Is she in the room?
No.
Okay, well, we'll put that off to next month. And the Arts Council will also make a presentation next month about their vision for an arts center. So I think that is it for department reports.
Okay. Did you want to make a comment on our joint meeting?
Okay, so I did post the notes there from our discussion. Is that what you wanted?
No, just kind of that we had the meeting.
Well, yeah, it was an excellent, excellent joint meeting with planning. A very good communication. I think everyone came well prepared. It was also very helpful to have the preparation work where we were talking about specific actionable items, and appreciate all the effort that everyone put into, especially Nancy, in preparing for that meeting so that we actually did have a list of things which we could say yes or no to. And I hope that becomes a model for moving forward on a lot of other issues.
Yeah, thank you. I thought it was a good meeting too. And I appreciated that. That made it move along really well. All right, Josh.
Yeah, I want to thank John and Nancy for making that so functional. That was really a super interesting and productive meeting. So fire, we haven't had any calls, which is always good this last month. County's working on the rapid SOS implementation still. In the meantime, we're working on implementing a different version of that software here locally. Hopefully that will be up and running by next month. Wildfire Council is going to distribute a community survey and have an open meeting in September. The landfill, we need a new pit dug real soon. I think Cindy's in contact with Sam on that. I'm working on the response to the deficiencies. I did call and discuss with our auditor, and she's aware of the delay and why it exists, and so everything's okay. And Jessica submitted our annual report online to the portal. So thank you for that, Jessica. That's it for me.
Okay, Gladys?
I don't think I have anything special. Other travel council, actually, in businesses are concerned, business is slow all over, not just in southern Utah, either. It's all
there. Yeah, that's true. Okay. I don't have anything from the tree committee. Garfield County, we had one zone change from agriculture to resort recreation. It's for a equestrian RV park. And it's about 2 miles east of Hatch. So this strictly was just all about the zone change, but it was kind of fun to see what they had planned, because if they can, they got a lot to do to bring that thing into fruition at all. But if they ever get it done, it's going to be really nice. It'll have a lot of amenities for not just camping, but horses. And they got big plans for it. So anyway, but it did pass, because right now it's strictly at the zone change part of the process. That's all I got. Jessica?
So today I met in person here with Kimball and Roberts, our auditors, and we went through our fiscal year end reporting that we have to do for the state. And so we met today and went through all of that. We are still only required to do a self-evaluation just because we don't have a high of a revenue. That's what we did last year. But it seemed very beneficial to have them actually do the full financial audit, have a financial statement given to us. And so we went through that today. Things went really well. It did not take very long because I was very prepared. I had things organized and ready to go. So much so that I even made a comment about it, which I appreciated, because that's what I've been working really hard on this entire year. So to get through the audit, it was like smooth sailing. So that was really nice, especially compared to last year, because it was not smooth sailing. And the year before that, it was like an all-day process. So that was a big accomplishment to have that done, and to have it done properly. We had all the information. So that's all I have right now.
Okay. Very good. All right. Next, we go into the public comments. 3 minutes maximum per person, and you can't give your time to someone else. I think everybody pretty well knows that by now. We beat that horse to death. Anyway, anybody public have a public comment? It is now open. Come to the end of the table, state your name, and...
Hi, this is Jennifer Bach.
Now the microphone is on. This is Jennifer Bach. One second.
I paused.
All right. I'm commenting on the RV ordinance changes. Quickly, I feel like the 270-day amendment to the ordinance that was discussed last meeting wasn't adequately presented to the public for a public hearing, especially, but it wasn't even adequately presented to the public for public comment. The document that was being referenced with the amendments to change it to 270 days was never posted on the website prior to the meeting. So I myself didn't even know until just a few seconds before that it was going to be discussed and couldn't prepare a proper public comment, which is why my comment was, maybe you should consider having another public hearing. Let's see. Changing something that major without public input seems like a bait and switch. We did have a public hearing, but it wasn't discussing that specific part of the amendment to the RV ordinance. Whether it was legal or illegal, I'm not 100% sure, but it wasn't honorable, in my opinion. I feel like the public should have been offered more time to comment on that. Going back to the RV planning and concerns, it's not because people don't like the ordinances. It's because there's things about planning that you need to consider so that you do a good job planning your town. And the fact that some people aren't following the current ordinances, it's a non-conforming use, but you really don't want to bust it wide open and make so many things allowed, because then you're encouraging people not coming near you around. So we're trying to make a town, not a tourist trap, I think. I mean, we have a component of that, but we're trying to make ourselves a town. And so to encourage people to live here seasonally, to encourage people to live here temporarily, just because that's how they live and go from place to place to place, it may not be the best planning. And so I want to make sure that people don't think we're just speaking out against it because we don't like something. That's not true. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Mark Elton. Ditto on what Jennifer said. She has an amazing critical mind. 2.5 minutes isn't very long. I got my tax notes the other day, so I wanted to address this idea of raising taxes. I don't know if you guys looked at your notices, but the county's proposing raising my property taxes by 17% this go around. And, I don't know, why so much and where that's going, but we need to kind of figure that out. And then about raising town taxes, we better be careful about this idea of raising taxes. But but what I really wanted to talk about was the RV ordinance. Now, I saw that was going to be on the agenda tonight, and it didn't really say what it was going to be about. So I just looked up the documents that was presented online and reviewed those again. And I just want to say that, I've been involved in planning in this town for more than 35 years, I believe, been at numerous conferences and seminars and training sessions about planning. And I'm going to tell you, this is a mess. This is one of the worst. This is the kind of thing that we used to talk about in conferences and educational seminars and say the way not to do things, but you want to have if you want to do good planning. So I think this is full of bad planning. I think we really need to relook at all this point by point, the table of uses especially, and how that applies to this town and the general plan and the vision statement, because I don't think it does. And it's full of, unintended consequences. So I would encourage you to, you know, think about looking at this closer before adopting. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Anyone else?
Yes. Just the comments?
Uh-huh. Public comments.
Sorry, I'm late. The restaurant's busy. Surprisingly. Blake Spalding, representing Hills Backbone Grill and Farm and Boulder Mountain Lodge. And just here to say again, for the, I don't know how many times, just that we are keen on the alternative plans that don't run the pathway in front of our restaurant. We don't want it there. We would love to see the loop, and then to have a permeable surface for sure. And so we're really excited about those ones that actually are circular in nature and are feeling extremely unexcited, don't want the one that runs in front of the restaurant and the lodge and crosses two driveways on our property. We're not sure how to negotiate the viability around driveways and a path. So thank you.
Thanks, Blake. Anyone else? Anyone online? Oh, sorry.
Nina Brownell, kind of echoing Blake and feeling really enthusiastic about the plans that come kind of connecting the school, connecting the town up here, and definitely, especially with the permeable surface, feels important, and keeping it off Highway 12 as much as possible, partially for the businesses there, but then also the to minimize construction, as construction has been in the area this summer and is affecting businesses, and so kind of minimizing the disruptions that construction cause. And then also just as always curious about the finances of it, and if the town, if it's really the best use of the town's resources, if there are alternative funding sources that I know were mentioned before about maybe bike paths that the state is doing later. So thank you.
Thanks, Nina. All right, anyone else? Anyone on Zoom? Okay. Public comments are closed then. All right, next on the agenda is the bench in the park for Bob and Naomi Brams, and Dave and Annette will present it, I guess. Dave will.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm Dave Brim. Thank you for letting us come here and present our proposal for a memorial bench for my parents in the park. We weren't really very aware of the possibility of this and the details and how this would come about, but about a couple months ago, Steve Cox approached our family and said, "You really ought to try to sponsor having your parents have a memorial bench in the park." He said, "That'd be a great tribute and all the volunteering service that they provided to Boulder Town." And so we thought about it as a family, and we really got excited about it. And we talked to various people to see if there was some like enthusiasm for it, and we really found an overwhelming response that people were positive about it. So I wanted to just share with you some things we learned, because we had to kind of sort out what the details are and how to make that happen. So the first thing is, how much is a bench? And this is an example here. If you go to the town park now, there's two benches, I believe. One for LaFair, one for Wesley Baker. Have you seen them? Well, we've looked at possibilities, and this one is just one as an example. It's commercially available. It runs about $3,000, depending on the length. We wanted to have one that was high quality. It wouldn't deteriorate very rapidly, so it's good quality steel. You can also have it personalized, which we'd like to do. And there's the talk to Corey, and there's an installation fee, installation requirement. We thought we'd put it on a cement pad. And then there's, of course, the location. And then there are several possibilities, but we really got excited by these pocket parks that we have down here, just on the south side of the fire department house. The one that's just on the east side towards the post office, we really prefer that because my parents spent a lot of time cultivating that and gardening it and keeping it updated. So we proposed that site. In terms of cost, the family agreed to pay the full cost of the bench and the installation. What we need from the town is permission to have that location and be willing to keep it maintained over the years. I think that's pretty much all the...
Corey also said he would do the cement pad.
Yeah, Corey agreed to do the cement pad. We pay him for his services.
Okay.
So I think the original plan that we've heard about, the idea was to expand it over time as the town council found appropriate. So we're proposing to now expand it by one more bench. Any other questions?
So, and exactly where did you want to put it?
Well, you know, these little pocket parks that are right on each side of the firehouse.
Uh-huh.
The one on the east side is where we're proposing it. There's the picnic table that I'm going to put it behind it.
Oh.
Indent behind it, and the weather box is right there.
Yeah.
There's kind of a little indent right back there. We thought that would be good for this one.
Okay. That is okay. I think it's a great idea myself. That's a beautiful, beautiful bench. And your folks did amazing stuff. So.
Yeah, they love Boulder. We really realized how much people love them.
Yeah. Yep, sure miss them already, which I'm sure you do. Does any of the council have any questions for him? John?
No, I think it's a great idea.
All right. Well, I guess somebody wants to make a motion to let him do it. We'll...
This will be the easiest motion I've ever made. I make a motion that we allow the Bob and Amy Brims Memorial Bench to be placed in the pocket park near the fire hall.
Gladys will second that.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, yeah. Aye.
Judy, yes. All right.
Thank you very much.
You bet. We look forward to seeing that. That is great.
So everything was that easy.
Okay. The next three items on the agenda we voted on last month, and we have to rescind them individually and re-vote on them. When we get to the RV ordinance, we will just rescind the RV ordinance, and we will have a public hearing in September and re-vote on the RV ordinance so that people have a chance to come in and tell us what they want. So, yeah, and we noticed that after we blew it. What can we say? But we're going to correct it now. So First of all, let's take number 8, the County Fire Protection Agreement, and I'll entertain a motion to rescind that, because we have to rescind it first.
Gladys will make a motion to rescind the County Fire Protection Agreement that we currently have.
Yes, the ones that we currently have that we okay. Do I have a second?
Josh, a second.
All right. All in favor of rescinding the County Fire Protection Agreement, say aye. Those opposed, say no.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. Now I will entertain, and the reason that we did this, by the way, is because they weren't in the recording, and we want to make sure that we were following protocol. So we thought the best thing to do is resend them, get them into the recording, and have a record of it. So, all right. I will entertain a motion to pass the County Fire Protection Agreement.
Josh, I'll make a motion that we approve the County Fire Protection Agreement as presented.
Gladys will second.
All in favor say aye. Those opposed say no.
John, aye.
Okay.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. All right.
And the only thing I just want, will you make a comment for the record only that, because we don't have any of it from last month, which is fine, but just saying the basics of what it is, and that we have
brief explanation.
You guys voted so fast, I was fast forward in the discussion, and just that we have liability.
Yeah.
Just for the recording.
Yeah. So this is an agreement. Actually, the county gives us money for this already, but we never have a contract. We never had a contract with them historically, for basically providing fire protection to surrounding areas like the Draw and Salt Gulch that aren't specifically within Boulder Town. And so this is us saying, yeah, we'll go out there and respond as a fire department. And the county has paid us money historically for this. It's basically just a technicality.
And then we do have the liability insurance that they asked for at the bottom.
Yeah, and you checked the liability insurance and got them a name insured, so they're covered there.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, hang on just 1 minute. Okay, very good. All right, well, because the ordinance will have to be rescinded, but the Boulder Farmstead contract, we just have to go ahead and vote on it again. And all we really did do was Josh made some corrections on the Boulder Farmstead contract. And so we wanted to okay the new things that we did so that we could send it on to Boulder Farmstead. And they do have it. We did get it sent on, but now we just have to quick revote that we accepted the changes that Josh made so that we could send it on to Boulder Farmstead.
Yeah, and there was a change that you proposed and I implemented on the draft that is still probably the current document. So it's an as presented thing now, right? Okay, I'll make a motion.
Hang on 1 minute, Josh, because I just thought of something else. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We found out, and we might as well do it now. We found out from Camille that there was a contract, a 50-year contract, allowing Boulder Farmstead to use our easements, roads. We have a copy of it. So we really don't need that in the Boulder Farmstead contract. And that was as of 2012. Wasn't it 2012?
2012. That's a 50-year.
Yeah, this but is I a do copy think... of it. And if you want a copy of this, you can have it. But this is it. It's the easements. It's just allowing Boulder Farmstead for 50 years to use our roads, driveway.
What I recommend is we just approve it. We're not approving the contract.
Yeah.
So we'll just approve just it as presented. They can mark it out in our version.
Yeah, just take it out. Yeah, but I wanted you to know.
Yeah, thank you for letting me know. Yeah, and I would love
that. Just came forward.
That's great to know. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we present the Boulder Farmstead contract as presented to the public to Boulder Farmstead for review.
Gladys will second it.
All right. I'm not going to repeat that. All in favor say aye.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. All right. Very good. Now, number 10 is the RV ordinance. We are going to rescind that. And then we will have a public hearing in September and then discuss it and vote on it then. So I'll entertain a motion to rescind the RV ordinance.
Gladys will make a motion that we rescind the RV ordinance as presented.
Do I have a second?
Josh will second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
I'd like to have a discussion.
Oh, yeah. We got to have a discussion.
Okay. I'm fully in favor of this. I want to make sure that what is put up for public hearing in September reflects the town council motion. So I will make sure that Jessica has a draft that includes those motions. And that's the draft I would like to see for the public hearing. And just as a clarification.
All right. That sounds good. All right. So any more discussion? All right. All in favor to rescind the RV ordinance, say aye. Those opposed, say no.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. All right. We'll deal with that ordinance in September. All right, next on the agenda is appeal and penalties in the subdivision ordinance. And I have one right there. Our attorney, Michael Wynn will give us.
Thanks, Council. Thanks, Mayor. So this agenda item came up as a result of our drafting of our subdivision ordinance. There was both an appeal and a penalty schedule included as part of that effort. And so for our subdivision ordinance, or our subdivision draft, the Planning Commission had suggested that we include any violation of these ordinances be subject to criminal penalty, either misdemeanor or infraction. The problem is right now we're not prepare to enforce those types of penalties. We just can't. I'll get into that in a second. My suggestion was let's visit with the town council, see what the town code includes, see if this is something we want to address as an overall effort amongst the town code, or just limit it to the subdivision chapter. At this point, I'll make my recommendations in a second, but I do want to give you guys your options here. First off, the problem then is with any criminal offenses, any infraction, misdemeanor, or felony invokes certain rights, which is the Bill of Rights. They apply to the accused, not to the state, meaning we have to offer some semblance of due process. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's trial. It's face your accusers, it's let me know the evidence against me, those sorts of things. It's all tied to due process. We don't have any way of providing them. So if we say you violated an ordinance and they say, no, I didn't, and we issue them a citation, then they have no way, real way of challenging that, which is entirely unconstitutional. There are some options as to how we can approach this. Initially, we could enter into an interlocal agreement with our law enforcement and our Garfield County Justice Court to enforce those ordinances and then provide for a forum in which they can be challenged. In my limited discussions with Sheriff Houston, he's indicated he's not going to enforce local ordinance as of today. But I don't want to put words in his mouth either. So I would rather him say that to this council. If that's the way you want to go. The other way, and interestingly enough, Tory's doing this, is you could create your own justice court, which seems really outlandish, but it's not. You create a forum which you can enforce these types of violations. If you're going to cite somebody with a misdemeanor or a criminal offense, then they can have that forum in which to challenge it. So you would need a court, a judge, prosecutor, and defense counsel, public defender. That's something maybe you want to look at. I don't know. But as far as the intricacies and the complexities of what that involves, it's not going to happen before these drafts. It's just subdivision one to do, right? Next thing is you can take, and I reviewed the town code, and it mentions misdemeanors more times than I can count. So you just can't enforce those. The way we're set up, the way we're already positioned, is that it sounds very scary, but it's not enforceable. I'll level with you. You could change those criminal penalties to be administrative fees. So if you violate an ordinance, you then owe a fee, but it has to be related to the actual work and pecuniary or financial loss that the town has suffered. So for instance, if you had a beautification ordinance and you issued a letter to clean up your yard, charge it for an hour or time. If you have to go out there and clean up the yard, 20 hours of your time. You just send them the bill that's reflective and allowable by the law, basically. It's not unconstitutional. So you can actually say, hey, you owe us this much money. And I think, for example, the roadways. I mean, if we had to go out there and there's a private agreement between residents as to how they're going to maintain their road, they don't. We have to go out there and fix it for them. We're going to send them a bill. And that's entirely permissible under the law. That's one way to address it. And then finally, we leave everything in the town code where it's at. And then I address this just in the subdivision chapter, as to say, if you violate the subdivision ordinances, we're going to attach a fee schedule to that. And then we'll talk about the town code later. And that would be my suggestion.
Yeah,
but I want you guys to ask any questions. I know this, from my preliminary discussions, it's a little confusing. It's a little, why can't we? I mean, you can't accuse somebody of violating the law and attach a criminal penalty without attaching due process. So they have to have a right to be able to challenge that, face their accusers, have a trial by jury, all the stuff that the 14th and the prior 10 amendments command. So if you have any questions about what that means or how that works, I'm here to answer those questions. Basically, I say we kick this back down to the Planning Commission. I work directly with them to make that reflective in our new subdivision ordinance. At a later time, I can come back and we can talk about how best to accommodate the fact that we can't enforce our own ordinances through any sort of criminal penalty right now. So, yes.
Can I just ask a question? Okay, so if we assess them a financial penalty and they don't pay it, what can we do?
So that gets into liens and
okay.
Those types of things. Okay. There are creative ways to enforce
it. Okay.
That's where our tree ordinance is. If they don't cut down their trees and there's been a problem with it and we have to do it, then we send them a bill. So we do address that with, we haven't had to, but that is in the tree ordinance.
Right.
To
do that. At a certain point, we can attach it real quick.
Okay. Okay.
I would never advise it.
Okay, Josh?
I mean, I love the idea of creating a justice. No, I'm just kidding.
That's, yeah, there are very good reasons
with,
to why.
With all of our spare time.
You should ask Michael, who does have one, though, because I was shocked.
What? Yeah, Levan, Big Water. I mean, all these small municipalities actually have. I mean, every other month, we got, you know, Judge McKay.
He
facilitates.
I was like, wow, I can't believe they have.
And
that.
You know, we get 70% of the revenue, 30% goes to the state. You know, highway patrol, sheriffs, the rifle tickets all day long.
Right. Yeah. So that's your
real
motivation,
good reason,
right? Yeah. That's the motivation. Is right. That it's actually a revenue center.
They are. They are very much a revenue producing center.
Yeah, boy. I mean, I guess. I mean, so I guess I would like to see. I mean, in terms of phasing, I don't think we're going to move in the direction of creating a justice court in this town. Is my gut. I don't know if anyone else feels like they want to take on that overhead. I mean.
Not right now.
It seems like it makes for some funny conversations when I leave my house, I think. I would like to see us systematically address it, but obviously it would have to be phased, right? Like it's literally like every ordinance has some language that's criminal. And, you know, for those not reading between the lines, that means that literally our entire ordinance set is entirely unenforceable, more or less currently. So that really calls into question why we're spending so much time making rules that we can't even enforce.
Some of those rules were gatekeeping rules.
Yeah. I get that, but it's still just philosophically absurd, right?
To have
rules that you can't, you think you can enforce but can't. What would it take to create an ordinance that has penalties systematically assigned in it and then reference that in the subdivision code?
That's
only easy. But only apply it to the subdivision code right now. And then as we revise future ordinances, which we're planning on doing, then we can start referencing that and not reference dollar amounts in the ordinances, but just say it's a Schedule C fine according to this ordinance. And then maybe we can update that through resolution or something instead of like make it simpler to maintain.
And then that's the way you want to go, would create a new chapter, penalties and remedies under the town code. We have a subdivision ordinance draft, reference and incorporate that part of the town code into that chapter. And then to back to your question, we at some point could go back through the town code and reference it to the draft.
RV ordinance, for example, you know, we could, if there's penalties in there, we could start as we update ordinances, we would have something to reference.
Yeah.
That would allow us to phase it as we go because at the town code level.
And I can reference the subdivision code to the town code.
Yeah. Because it's
that chapter.
It's basically a similar amount of work, right? Yeah. Like, as to just, if you're going to do it for the subdivision code, it's only a little bit more to just create the language for the rest of it.
So, and if that's the way you want to go, we're kind of under the gun for those subdivision ordinances. I would like to have that chapter added next town council meeting, but I'll get you a draft of that proposed language well before then so we can talk about it or at least start considering it. That way makes the most sense.
Okay.
Is that we add that as a chapter to the town code and then reference by incorporation in the subdivision ordinance, and then at some point any new ordinance that comes along reference that and then go back through and change our code to get rid of that language that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all
I'd like to comment on that. I think this is a very good direction that Josh has brought up. I think putting all the enforcement in one place in the code is going to be much cleaner for overall. With regard to planning and zoning violations, I am much, much, much more comfortable having those treated as civil fines. That's what I'm accustomed to in most other jurisdictions, rather than criminal penalties. That's also much friendlier, which is something that's been very important in Boulder, that instead of calling somebody a criminal, it's not so bad to say that you're giving them the equivalent of a parking ticket. So I think going with a system of civil fines for enforcement and consolidating that would be really a much better approach.
So then I'll work with the Planning Commission to get that reference into the new subdivision ordinance. And at the same time, next time of the week, I'll have some proposed language for you guys to vote on. Assuming that's the way the council wants to go. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to miss.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah. Well, and they've always wanted a direction from us, and this is a good way
and, to and get Nancy's them to, with us. I don't know if she has any comment, but
yeah. Oh yeah, Nancy.
She's
yeah,
probably the most important.
Yeah, Michael, it seems to me it'd be almost sufficient in the subdivision ordinance to say a simple sentence that says a violation of this is a civil fine to be dealt with per Boulder code.
Exactly. That's exactly where I intend to take it. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Nancy has her hand up if you guys did.
I totally support the idea of having this be sort of general over all of our code and just being able to reference it in the subdivision code. I think that's much cleaner. And I also support it being just civil fines. No, it's a potential source of revenue for the town if we can figure out how to collect it. But it's, I think it's, as John just said, it's much more bolderish in a way to think of it that way rather than it be a being a criminal act. So I'm very supportive of what you just suggested, Michael. Thank you.
Fancy. Appreciate it.
Very good. Well,
we need a motion, or
let's make a motion. Okay. That way, it's good.
Sure, I'll make a motion that we have Attorney Nguyen investigate and present a new section of our code related to civil fines.
Gladys will second that.
All right, all in favor of Attorney Nguyen, what Josh said, say aye.
John, aye.
Okay.
Judy, I. Nothing's ever simple. It's all technical.
What was the wording that you said for the new chapter? I mean, and you might change that.
Remedies. That's a real.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for. I'm gonna wait for you to give me some.
Do you think people will know what that means?
Much nicer. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. American Legal updates and content, Josh.
Yeah, so we're finally getting our ordinances up for codification on the American Legal website. It takes 60 to 90 days to codify. But Jessica figured out if we supply them a Word document, they will post the working version that's waiting for codification. So that can be found under.
And I wanted to bring, I have it live. So just, oh, yeah. There's not that many people, but I did want to show this live just of where you can find this.
That's great. It's in a section. As a broader conversation about American Legal, I think the way that our ordinances are organized on there is completely insane and maddening and not intuitive whatsoever. There's a bunch of examples of towns that it makes sense. So at some point, with all that spare time, maybe right above creating a justice court, I would like to reorganize the structure of our ordinances on here. But if you go under, I think it's under our code of ordinance, and then I think it's right there, ordinances pending review for codification. So they're there. And then once they get codified, I don't know if that whole section will go away, or definitely the ordinances should go away because they'll just be in the code.
So they won't be in the code, but you still can search them, which is nice. So if you type in the search, they will come up.
Yeah. And you have sent in a bunch of minutes to be up there. So
I don't think they're actually there.
And I don't know how far back those go, a ways back. Planning Commission minutes have been up there for years.
2018, Town Council only since I came March 2023, and they should all be in here now, up to what we approved. I guess I sent these like a month ago, so I haven't sent anything again.
So you can search. If you go to the search and you search, it'll search through all the minutes as well. Which actually can be incredibly annoying. So you have to exclude minutes from your search criteria if you actually want to find code references, just for everyone's reference. One thing I would like council input on is we have the option of putting all of our resolutions up here. Those would be policies like, for example, the dump policy we passed a month or two ago. Right now, the only way to find our policies is... on the website or something. I don't even know how to find all of our old resolutions. So I feel
you
like
ask John about that.
John's had quite an effort, and we'll get into the details there, but it's not rewarding. So we could have a section under here that says like or resolutions, and then basically all of our policies, procedures, laws, everything would be in one website searchable from one location for the whole town to find without referencing different spots. So I would like the council's input and or approval to move forward with getting resolutions up there. And I would suggest just doing this, starting with this year and just moving forward.
because the past is pretty complicated to piece together, and a bunch of it's obsolete now anyway, the old resolution.
I would fully support starting with the current 2024 resolutions, and I will volunteer when I get back to Boulder to go sort through. There are some old resolutions that really need to be archived. A lot of them are things like adopting the 2021 budget that no longer have any real meaning. But I will sort through the archive of resolutions best I can and see what, and bring them as something that we can agree should be posted.
Hey, Gladys.
Okay, so Josh, you aren't too impressed with the way they are. So why are we continuing with American Legal? Because didn't someone say there was another company that also does this?
Yeah, there is. There's Municode, which is better. But these systems are garbage in, garbage out. So I think the problem is just how they're set up, period. Like, and they just codified it, and now it's just easier to see how really difficult it is to navigate. So I think we need to get to a place like this works. It's functional. I think Municode's better for very slight reasons that probably no one else in town even cares about, except maybe John. But I think we need to get this to a place that we like. And then we can think about like, oh, now all we have to do is port this over.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, let's get this, like, this is looking good. Everything is here. Okay. We're all feeling really good about this. Now we can think about complicating it by doing something different.
American Legal just basically does what we tell them to do.
Okay. See, and I didn't know that. So I'm glad to know that.
And because we didn't give them very much instruction, this is what it is, where other towns have been like, hang on, we want you to break this out further. And so they're just,
structured.
So we have to give them, that's what he's saying, is other towns use American Legal and it's actually functionable.
Right? Yeah, that's great.
It's kind of American Legal, but it's also, we have to do some of the back work to give American Legal and say, this is what we want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also related to that, I don't know really what it means to like change the section headings from a town council perspective. Like, I don't know how we do that. So there's like a administrative thing that we need to figure out. Like, where was that documented originally? How do we do it? I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's something that we just tell American Legal because it is codified.
Could
we look at other towns that have done it if they've got a better plan and not reinvent the wheel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll come back with a whole proposal or whatever. That's a whole separate conversation. I just kind of wanted to prime the pump that this, you know, if you use this and find it frustrating to find our land use ordinances in our hierarchy, you're not alone. And there are towns that have it set up where it's very intuitive and straightforward to get there. And we should move in that direction, but it's a longer term thing. To begin with, we just need to like get everything up here and use it, you know, normally.
Okay, and we need to call and find out what it's gonna cost to do that. And on the same hand, we've already paid for so many past minutes. Do you recall, Jessica, how you're allowed so many pages, I think, of minutes?
I just don't.
Yeah. And I can't remember, we voted on that, putting the older, trying to get the older minutes in, and I don't recall what it was either. So anyway, so what we probably need to find that out as we go along and get organized. So, but I do think that's a good idea to put the...
Okay. I guess I will make a motion that we add our resolutions to the American Legal website, starting with just 2024 only.
Gladys will second that.
All right. Do we have any more discussion? Are we good? All right. All in favor of adding the resolutions to American Legal from just 2024 right now, John, is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, there are some that we will want to do, but I'll do that as a separate motion in another meeting.
Okay, very good. All right, so all in favor say aye, all opposed say no.
John, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. All right, good. Motion carries. All right, Josh, tax rate update.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say publicly, I reached out to Gina, the Garfield County Treasurer, and asked when the last time Boulder modified its the certified tax rate that gets presented to us every year. And going back at least 30 years, we have never adjusted our property tax. We never increased property taxes for at least 30 years in Boulder, according to the Garfield County Treasurer. So I just wanted to say that. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. Let me cross those off. All right. Fee schedule, John.
Okay. I think the doc, I prepared two documents. I think they are available now to everyone, Jessica. I think they're on the website. I don't know if they're there physically in the meeting room. One is a discussion of the a recommendation with three alternatives, and the other is a spreadsheet where I've compared, and it's, I wouldn't guarantee it's not a systematic survey of the fees, but rather an opportunistic fee survey of fees that I was able to get a hold of. Bottom line of that survey of fees is that we're at the low end of the range of what we're charging. Do you have that spreadsheet there, Jessica? Okay, good. Yep, there. I think when I talked with Gladys recently, I think that we should give this some time for people to look at, to get some input from the community, get some input from the businesses. But I would highly, highly recommend that we do something tonight about the fee that we charge for subdivision applications, because right now we charge a flat $75. That doesn't come close to the time that we're spending for Aaron to process them. The comparisons I have here, yeah, it's top of the first page there, Jessica. Kane County charges $1,000. Garfield County charges $400. Bryanhead charges $1,000. Apple Valley charges $2,700. Most of them charge some hourly rate for the review. So that's one I think that, I've given three alternatives on the commentary, and we'll come back to that. As far as the recommendation I made, I gave three alternatives. One is do nothing, which basically keeps our current fee schedule, and that's one column on the other document. And it's also the first column on the document that Jessica has on the screen. The second alternative is to tie our fees very closely to what it's actually costing us. In other words, treat the fees as a process to make sure that people who are getting a unique service, like being able to bring things to the dump or getting a subdivision approved, are paying what it's costing the town to provide them that service. The third alternative is really approaching the fees as a revenue source. I don't particularly like it, but I could see clearly that a lot of towns are doing that. Thank you, Jessica. Let's see. So I just described the three alternatives. And then if you could go to the second page. Keep going. So group that in some categories: land use fees, business regulation fees, facility rental fees, and landfill fees. And like I say, there are three alternatives. Alternative one is basically what we have in our current schedule. Alternative two is focusing on what it's costing the town to provide people that service. And alternative three is treating this as a potential revenue source. There are some limits in state law and so forth of what we can charge as fees, but given even the comparison to other towns, I think we could justify higher fees than even the alternative two quite readily. Questions so far, and then I'd like to talk about the alternatives for the land use fees.
Josh?
Just sort of an idea for how to move this forward without it being mind-numbing for everybody. What if we, I love how you group these, and also take a step back. Thank you very much for all this work. This is very thorough and very helpful. Maybe a way to move forward to keep this moving and give us time to talk about things while also making changes is taking these as a group. So like land use fees, maybe we try and make a vote on that tonight. Business regulation, maybe next month, so on and so forth. Does that sound good?
That'll keep it moving.
John, does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
As an approach? Anyway, I think that's otherwise we're going to be here forever. So I guess.
Well, and that'll give us a chance to look that over really good. And this one we have to address right now because I think it's a big deal. I'm with you. I think it's something we need to address.
Okay. There's the first one is, I don't think we've ever used it. There's a provision for charging somebody a fee if they request a zoning change or general plan change. That should really only apply if they're doing something that benefits themselves. That's typo is the $4.35 is actually $1.35. That one's pretty unlikely to be used, but if somebody came and said, oh, I want to have my land rezoned from GMU to high density residential, I think a $250 fee plus $25 an hour for the zoning administrator's time is a reasonable ask from the town. The same for subdivision applications. Now, I put down 250 plus 25 an hour, which is basically barely more than what we pay Aaron with the Social Security taxes, the employment taxes. Nancy actually suggested, she said, well, 50 is 50 an hour is probably closer to our cost, especially considering that a big part of having Aaron there is that she has to take training to be effective in her job, and somehow that has to be paid for. So I think really considering $50 an hour as a fully burdened rate for the zoning administrator might be reasonable. If we asked for $1,000 for a subdivision application, we wouldn't be out of line with other jurisdictions, but we would be higher than Garfield County. So my recommendation on that is $250. And I'll start with, and I'll leave it at 25 an hour, but people could consider that we change that to 50. Appeal to the Board of Adjustment. I think having a fee for that is good. I do think that we should have a policy that if the town has found an error, the fee for the appeal is refunded. But that's a different matter. We could at least have a fee that, so that there's frivolous appeals are weeded out. And we currently have 150 in our ordinance, and I left it at 150 plus and changed that to 150 plus 25 an hour. So that's kind of what I put as a starting motion for discussion for the land use fees. It would be alternative two for those three items.
I like the idea of a fee plus so much an hour review. That means if somebody spends some time and gives a good presentation, she doesn't spend hours trying to fix it. It doesn't cost as much for if somebody like me just says you do the paperwork, then need to pay for her services. Yeah, so I really like alternative two. I'm agreeable to going higher. What do you think, Josh, on that hourly wage? Begins you ought to go 35.
Personally, I think alternative three is fine for this category, specifically because although we don't like to view it this way, in reality, we are providing a service that's creating hundreds of thousands of dollars in value for the user. So, and it's the only thing we do where we do that as a town. And also looking at the amount of work it takes to even have a functional subdivision ordinance is overwhelming. And also, if we're going to get professional engineers involved, they're going to be billing a lot more than 70 an hour. So, you know, we're going to lose money there probably. I definitely at least two with a higher rate, and I would definitely support three for this category in particular, personally.
Okay, I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when we talk about subdivision, you're talking about these fees applying to minor subdivisions also? Okay.
Yeah, it would be any application. So that would, any subdivision would require that, yes. But if you're doing multiple lots in one subdivision, it would be just one application, right? So, I don't know. Okay, so here's what I'll do. I'll make a motion that we accept alternative three for the land use fee category as presented by John in this document.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Okay, now I just want to make sure. So I gave, actually, John, you don't have it, but I know you've seen it. So this paper that I gave you tonight, this is the adopted fee schedule. So I just want to make sure that we either, so we're like, we are correct with fees and adding, like, so that's the proper way, because we actually have a fee schedule.
Okay.
So we need to adjust what's on it. So I was even going to ask, so, you know, right now we still have preliminary concept, preliminary and final as of right now. Yes, those are going to change, but if you're changing these fees right this minute, how do you want those? Cause right now I know why you're only doing the one subdivision application fee, but if you're putting this into effect right now, this has to go in saying that if someone puts a subdivision application in tomorrow, this is the fee we're charging.
Yeah.
So if you guys will use this and make your adjustments of the exact wording, because, you know, like, we actually need to add in, like, what John was saying, the first one actually isn't even on this fee schedule, and I don't think the last one is either. So those need to be added to the fee schedule with those, and then the subdivision needs to be edited. So, I don't know the best way, but I just want to make sure.
Our current fee schedule, and I haven't checked this against the ordinance either. John,
Did that plan fee is actually in our ordinances, believe it or not. Here's what I'd recommend. We add to your thing that we repeal the current fees for subdivision applications in the fee schedule and replace them with the alternative three fees.
Okay, so each application stage would have its own fee then, basically. Technically,
I think for right now that would be, I think a single fee and an hourly rate is a much fairer way, that because in some cases, like a minor subdivision, the preliminary and the final are currently the same step if no infrastructure is required. Whereas if somebody does a very complicated application that requires a lot of infrastructure, there's going to be a lot of review time.
So you're saying take away concept, preliminary, and final, and just make it one subdivision fee.
One fee, but with the hourly rate for review on that.
So then if someone just completes a concept, but they actually don't take it to the preliminary stage or vice versa, when do they pay that fee? The minute they put in a concept?
Well, okay. So right now we don't. This is strange because, you know, although we have in our fee schedule, we have never charged a fee for the concept. We allow somebody to come to the to the planning commission and have an informal discussion. That will still be allowed if the applicant asks for it. But to me, this clock starts when they put a complete application in. And to me, it's important to charge a fee also at that stage, because it's saying by the town accepting that fee, we're also acknowledging that the application was received and complete. So I think the trigger would be when somebody actually puts in the preliminary application on paper with the zoning administrator, and the ZA says it's complete, and when they submit it, they submit their fee for that.
Okay, perfect.
And I think that's a good idea too.
Okay, so then that leaves us with the appeal to the board of a, is that the appeal application? That's what that is on our current.
Right, and that one also is in our ordinances right now.
Okay, mm-hmm. So these are all present. Okay.
So I was just saying something. Sorry. So I need
be a pretty
you have a motion on the table right now.
Yeah.
So I either need you to edit that.
Can we, okay, let's do this. Let's just take a vote on the proposed fee schedule, and then we can do another motion where we modify our current fee schedule line items.
Good.
That'll be simpler for them writing it down, right? Okay. Yep. So then, okay.
Okay.
The motion, there's a motion on the table to accept it that's been seconded. So I think now we just need to take a vote.
Yeah, now I got to vote because we discussed it. Okay. As long as there's no more discussion, all in favor of accepting alternative 3, that was the motion, Josh?
As presented, yes.
As presented. Say aye.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye.
Okay. Now, to amend our actual fee schedule, we would, okay, let me think about this for a second.
Since I don't have the document in front of me, why don't you mark it up and do the motion, Josh?
Yeah, that's what I'm working on. Okay, so the LEAP concept subdivision application is 0. I'll make a motion to, maybe I'll do these as individual motions just to make it real simple.
Yeah.
Does that sound good? Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
I'll make a motion that the preliminary subdivision application fee and the final subdivision application fee each get set at the $1,000 plus $70 an hour rate. That's my motion. Does anyone second it? And then I'll explain why.
Gladys will second it.
Okay, thank you. And the reason for that is for minor subdivisions, the preliminary is the final, so it'll just be one fee. Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Okay. John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye.
Okay. Now I will make a motion that the appeal application of $150 under other land use applications be amended to read appeal to Board of Adjustment and be set at $500 plus $70 an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll second that. So we can do a discussion.
Okay.
Okay, so did we want to have in there if the town is found fault, then they would refund it? I don't know.
I would include that.
Okay. Make a motion to amend it then, I guess. Maybe.
Okay, I move that we amend that to say that the $500 plus $70 fee will be refunded if the appeal indicates that the town was in error.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye.
Okay. I make a motion that we revise general plan or map amendment application line item and zoning ordinance text or map amendment application line item to have a fee of $500 plus $70 an hour.
Wait, say those again. Yeah. Sorry.
We're about
the general plan or map amendment and zoning ordinance text or map amendment. Okay. Both of those are under that category. So,
okay, thank you.
And again, I would include the wording that it's only if that request is for a specific project and not generally applicable to the town.
Okay, so I will amend that to state that only if it applies to a specific project or an individual's land use.
Well,
I don't know. How do you word that? I think we're making it too complicated.
And not generally applicable.
Has anyone ever even done this? Like, I don't know.
Well, a good example would be when Elena asked for the change on the driveways. If the Trails Committee asks for the general plan to be revised based on their trails plan, we don't want to charge the Trails Committee $500.
Well, right.
Because it's generally applicable to the town.
But they don't. They also don't fill out an application. We do it formally through meetings, right? So,
right. It's just that there's no confusion that if somebody brings up a request to the town council or the planning commission for something that's generally applicable, we don't charge a fee.
Okay.
But I think that's what Josh is saying, right? Because if you brought it up to the town, that happens without an application. And here, this is an application fee schedule.
Yeah.
So only if you're filling out an application is there a fee. What you're saying, they wouldn't fill out an application for.
Yeah.
Okay. This is an individual petitioning us, basically, not a formal committee that we put together reporting back.
Somebody that wants a change, right? Yeah.
I think it's fine as presented, John.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Okay. Okay. Did someone second? I think
so. Last will second it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. All in favor? We want those opposed, say no.
John, aye.
That's aye.
Gladys, aye. Judy, aye.
Oh boy. Have fun with that, Lacey.
Okay, so let's plan to, if everyone takes some time looking at the rest of this, both the discussion, the narrative discussion and the spreadsheet and the alternatives, we can move on other sections of this in future months.
Yeah, we'll throw it on upcoming business. I'll make a note here. Okay.
All right. So are we good there?
Right now, yeah.
All right. We're going to move on if we're done there. No camping on Fifth North.
Where's Fifth North?
500 North. Oh, 500 okay. North.
And I think, John, I tried looking. I didn't find the signs. It seems to me like there was two no parking signs ordered for that area, but I'm going to double check. Because that was an issue when they put in that new gate to come out the north end of the Apostasy.
Yeah.
They could get in the big RV stuff.
Yeah. So this was a request from that came through from through Katie Coleman. But Jamie Skidmore has agreed even to pay for the signs and put them up if we just vote to approve it.
Right, but let me look because I might have the signs. So.
Okay, great.
I she wouldn't have to pay for it because it was an issue. We were having that right off the get-go. So.
Do you want a motion?
Well, I actually want to bring up that if we are going to order signs, it would be great if we could add signs to put up at the Pavilion Park, just even put them at the cattle guard. There's been a lot of people camping overnight right in the parking lot. And so if we're going to put up the signs on 500, it would be nice to have the signs for the Pavilion Park as well. Okay, thanks, Michael.
Well, we just need to order a bunch of extra signs, but I guess if Jamie's ordering them, then.
Yeah, then we'll let it go.
Yeah.
No. We could ask.
Like Jamie, do you just want
to? Yeah. Okay.
So I'll make a motion that the town council approve the state park putting up no parking signs on 500 North.
Have a second?
Gladys will second that.
All in favor?
Well, I want to amend the motion to allow them to put up no camping signs or whatever language to that.
Did I say no parking, no camping?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Camping, that's a good
all
idea.
Right. Well, second my amendment. Someone seconding.
Yeah, so the motion is to allow the state park to put up no camping signs on 500 North.
There you go. That's the amended motion. Yes. Okay.
Glass will second it.
All right. All in favor of allowing Nanasate to put up the signs, the no parking signs, say aye.
And no, no camping.
No camping.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye.
Okay. Carried.
All right. Moving on. I asked John to check on this grant research pathway grant that Troy had brought up in the meeting. And so he's going to report on that because I'd like to know what you found there.
Yeah. Okay. So I talked to Troy about this. It's more of a bigger picture that we would have it up. There's two opportunities that would not require us to put up matching funds, and one of them which wouldn't involve our maintaining it. So there is the Utah Trails Network, which is the statewide vision of non-motorized paths all over. They will get to Boulder eventually, but I think right now their highest priority in Garfield County is the link from Panguitch to the Red Canyon Trailhead on Highway 12. But we can certainly submit what the Trails Committee did to the Utah Trails Network as a statement of community interest, and they can give us some feedback on how that might fit into their future year funding. The other opportunity is the Safe Routes to Schools, which basically comes out of the same pot of federal money as the other PATH grant did. But that one is for projects within 1 mile of a school. It's supposed to enhance kids getting to school and being active. And that has no matching fund requirements. So I think once we decide what to do with the current grant, we can certainly decide whether we have the bandwidth to submit additional proposals in the near future, or whether we're so overloaded right now that we should wait for another year. But that would be a separate discussion. So that's my report on the conversation with Troy.
Well, with all the alternatives on the head path that people want, and the main discussion, the two that I see were the biggest discussion was the path to the school and the ADA path down to the restrooms. Now, if we're going to use the grant, we have got to be able to travel up Highway 12. So what's your input on this? I want to hear what the council has to say. Gladys's
input, we're not spending any more money on anything till we get our finances straightened out. That's my vote, it's going to be. So I'm sorry, I have to say I would vote against anything.
But I realize this is C Road money. It's not.
I know.
Okay.
I realize that I think we've got some road problems that we probably got to spend that
all right
money on.
Josh?
Yeah, I am definitely with Gladys. I think it's been a really great exercise to dig into our budget. And I actually want to point out to everyone in general that when this grant first came up, basically no one had been through a whole proper budget cycle. And now we have, and thanks to the hard work of both Judy and Jessica, we have a very clear picture of what our budget is and what it is not. Everything's categorized properly, finally. And it seems, I would go as far as to describe it as like grossly inappropriate financially to sign on to maintaining $750,000 in infrastructure. For our town when we're already running a deficit. I also realize it's road C money, but we also have a lot of roads for our population, road mileage. So I I think there's a lot of great alternatives that were discussed. I feel like it's pretty clear from the chart that a permeable surface is vastly preferred by most of town, which basically puts us out of scope of our current grant, regardless of its location. And so that's a big consideration to me as well on this. And then the third thing is that trumps all of this is that at some point UDOT is going to come through and build a trail that is paved. And there's really nothing we can do about it because they have an easement and they have a long-term plan. It's on their website. They have now $45 million a year in funding from the governor. This stretch is a priority. It is going to happen in some form or another in our community. I think when you're really broke, it's nice to just wait for rich people to come do things for you if you can. So this is a good time to do that. But I also think we need to be thinking large and long-term about where we want this to go so that when UDOT finally shows up, we can hand them a plan that says, well, here's our preference for how this looks and where it goes. So those are kind of my three things that push me towards not wanting to pursue the current grant, even though it's a whole lot of money sitting there for us. It's kind of crazy to walk away from, but.
All right, John.
Okay, well, first, you know, I do want to very sincerely thank Jim Catmull for getting this whole idea rolling. And I want to thank the people who served on the Active Path Committee and the Planning Commission's work, because a lot of good work went into this. And I really see this as an opportunity that it's already moved the town along, because now for the first time we have some kind of a long-term vision of what we might really want as a town in terms of non-motorized transportation. So thank you. Really thank you everybody for that. I do agree that, you know, it doesn't, although it's a lot of money that somebody's offering us, yes, but it comes with a string attached that even if the county picks up half, that's still a big chunk of money we have to come up with for matching. What does make sense, and I made this comment back at earlier in the meeting when we were talking about the Arts Council, that what we should do is really pursue some money holistically for ADA accessibility on the town property, which would include from the restrooms to the pavilion to the parking lot and ADA accessibility at the town hall. I know that Tina and Cheryl have been working on that plan for what it would take to make their events fully accessible. And once we put all that together, I think we could come up with start looking for sources of funding specifically for ADA accessibility improvements. My inclination would be to make a motion that says that we will notify UDOT that we are declining the current grant, and then that we would put on our future work list to pursue ADA specific funding for the town property.
Okay. Well, I personally don't believe that the grant will fly no matter what we do because of how we've changed it. So, because of that, then we should make a motion to rescind because we voted to accept the money. Mm-hmm. So we need to rescind that, and then we'll have to get back to them and let them know what we did.
Okay.
So,
do you want me to make a motion that we
rescind
that? Gladys will make a motion that we rescind the vote
for the pedestrian pathway.
And that we notify UDOT that we're not accepting it this time, but when they have future development, we would like some input. Does that sound? Do you want that motion, or do you want that just? We're just going to rescind. We're going to rescind the motion.
Yeah, the motion to accept the grant.
To accept the grant money, yes.
For the pedestrian. Yay! Okay. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor to rescind the PEP path grant money, say aye.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. All right. You got a contact from John?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't think we need a formal motion, but what moving forward, I think, like I say, a lot of good work has been done. A couple of things can happen. We can certainly make sure that the Trails Committee work gets incorporated into the next revision of the general plan. That would be a Planning Commission action item, basically, but that's a way to archive all that good work that was done. I do support Troy's idea of sending that the results of our community survey to the Utah Trails Network, just so that they have some idea of where the community is coming from. It does, it's an informal process. It's not a real grant application. They say, send us your ideas and we'll look at them. So let's send them those ideas. And then when the Arts Council gets something more specific about ADA accessibility, I can help work with them to pursue funding for ADA improvements.
Okay. Thank you, John.
All right.
Let's move on. Staff upcoming work and priorities.
Yeah.
I want to see what you guys are planning, what you have planned.
Okay. So just for a little context, we decided at the last town council meeting to kind of change how we manage the staff. As a town, because we kind of have five people managing five staff in some ways, either directly or indirectly. It was too short notice to properly execute for this meeting, but what we're hoping to do is get some input from the staff on what they have coming up for the month or what they need input on, some decisions made, whatever. This will be a standing agenda item that we can have and give an opportunity to get feedback from the staff and hear what they're up to or what their priorities are. And then it's a chance for us to discuss priorities for the staff and things that we would like to see done. And then this allows us to have some accountability month to month and make sure that things don't fall through the cracks, because this is a pretty crazy system to try and manage tasks and projects with all these people involved. And then the other thing we discussed was implementing annual reviews for staff, like pretty standard company behavior. And then tying that to like raises or cost of living adjustments will happen on anniversaries and around when the annual review happens. So that was kind of the...
Yeah, well, that's what we talked about. There's going to be, when you talk about managing staff, that's not going to be as easy as it looks, because everybody pretty well, like from the zoning administrator to what Jess does to what Corey does, I mean, if there's certain things that you know that that have to be done that aren't being done, then I can see us getting totally involved in that. But this is going to be one of those situations, because everybody's job is different and nobody knows their job like they do. Now, this can be you can put together what you believe that you would like to see changed, and then we can talk about it as we go. But as far as Jessica's job goes, for the most part, I want her to have the leeway to do what she needs to do. And then if you need things that you would like her to do, if she can squeeze them in or get them done, then I don't have a problem with that. But it's not easy to micromanage that clerk job. If we can support them, and if there's something they need help with, then I say, yeah, go for it. But I don't think it's going to, in my mind, what I'm thinking might be different than what you're thinking. So that's why we kind of have to have you put down things that you're talking about, so I know where you're going with it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess maybe my perception was a little bit different. So what I came with, okay, I would like us to have the town clerk get a Venmo account set up for us and get QR codes over at the
Yeah, that's it. That's an example, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is that that's what I
was. So this is an opportunity for us to come to an agreement on what we would like to see the staff do.
That stuff needs to come to me, and then I will delegate it to Jessica or whoever.
Yeah, this is our opportunity to all come to an agreement on what do we think needs done, and then when does it need done, and then we'll work with the staff.
So you're talking about this kind of
stuff. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not interested in micromanaging day to day.
That's why I wanted to know, John.
But it would also be nice, you know, to hear from the staff, like Aaron might have a training coming up, or you know, maybe we have an audit coming up this month. Like, those things would be nice for us all to know.
Well, then you know.
I'm not like
that's good.
Minute by minute. It's not what I'm going for here. So to that vein, I mean, obviously we didn't hear from any of the staff because it was a few days notice. That's fine. But things there are speaking. The biggest thing is that I've heard from basically all the staff, as I've talked to them all on the phone at this point at length. One thing that I would like to see that we should all want to see the staff have by next month is job descriptions, because we do not have any right now.
That's fine.
That's a giant problem. So job descriptions for all the staff. And I can draft up an email and send it to you of this list, and then you can forward it on, or however. This is all work in progress, right? And one of the nice things about setting up sort of a process is that as the council changes over time, which is inevitable, there will be some system for new council members to plug into that doesn't have to radically change with each new council or whatever. It's like, look, we have a system that we come to an agreement, and we communicate in this way. And then therefore there's some continuity for the staff, because one thing I've heard from staff is like, well, this is really weird when the council changes, my whole job changes, you know? And it's like, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. So it's like, let's try and create a system that's a little more standardized where we get on the same page and communicate in some formal way. So that's kind of what I'm shooting for here. But to start with, we need to know, like, what do they actually do? Job description. Okay, well, tell us what you do or what you think you should do, or, you know, whatever. And that's, you know, and then we need that to hire replacements anyway, right? Or whatever. So job descriptions, and that should be pretty straightforward thing. You can just go find one and copy and paste it, more or less. On the ground side, I've heard some things come up now and then. Speaking of Safe Route to Schools, we have a Safe Route to Schools grant that we're not compliant with and haven't been ever since we repaved and over our crosswalks. Yeah, so painting the crosswalks.
Was the sign ever fixed? Does anybody know down by the church was that?
I know what you're talking about, and I don't actually know because I haven't driven that way in so long.
I haven't either.
You really avoid going that way when there's no school.
Okay.
To be so honest. Yeah. John, do you know?
I don't think it has. I had omitted it from my roads list because I'd forgotten about it. So I'll check on it when I get back to Boulder.
Well, I'll just add it to the list.
I'll add it to the list for sure.
Anything else for grounds or?
Okay, well...
just that question I raised earlier. You know, obviously, with all of them, everybody, we've got a finite number of hours available to do work. So if we ask for things, we also have to take things off the list. But the question I had was, is everybody okay with having Corey do some of the, what I'll call handyman maintenance, like trimming weeds around the at intersections? We've talked about trimming weeds around the fire hydrants in the summer, as an example. How do people feel about having Corey include that in terms of his scope of work?
Go ahead, Gladys.
I would like to have kind of a job description for him maybe next month.
Okay.
Right now, I would say, yeah, if he can fix the sign, fine. And I assume that he's the one that's been mowing around the sides of the roads. I don't know who else it'd be.
Oh, down 12?
No, not down. Like down around the past the church and down around.
Oh.
Somebody's. No, not. I won't say it was last week.
No,
but
he can let us know if he's that doing it. Yeah.
Well, I think maybe he has. I will check with him and get with him what he does do so we have an idea. And I'll have some ideas next month. That's okay.
And we've got what are the weeds and everything on it. We'll talk to him about getting that taken care of too.
Okay.
So let's get the list and then we can kind of have a general idea and then we can.
Anything else for grounds?
No, or but can it? I just
yeah. Go ahead.
Can I ask Jess, is it hard to set up a Venmo account? Because some people's. Okay, so if we set up a Venmo account, is it okay for not only people using it over there if they Venmo stuff, if they want to pay their their utility bill, but their business license?
Yeah,
you don't have to have a category. You'll know what they're paying for.
Yeah, I would put it into a category when I put it into the bank account.
Okay,
and I think the safest way to do that is actually through our prepaid debit card. Right, because you have to link your Venmo account to a bank account.
Well, what about
Square?
Because that was on my list.
Running
too.
It through Square, well, or you mean separate?
Well, or
because those will be separate. Because Venmo, you have to set it up. It has to go to a bank account, and so that gives access to. I mean, Venmo's so secure. I don't think it really happens. But instead of it's linked to your bank account, so you can transfer the money that you're given from Venmo to your bank account.
Right. So do you need it in a separate account?
I can. Yeah. I could even do that. We can set up a completely separate.
What is Square?
Square's take credit card payments. Mm-hmm. So somehow we need to be able to start accepting money at the dump.
Mm-hmm.
Square's a little thing. You plug into your phone. You can run cards. You don't need to be connected to the internet to run them. You get internet. It uploads it. It's very simple. It's straightforward. It's real easy. It's like what you do when you go out to eat, but it's integrated into a big thing. They have a little reader that you can just plug into your phone.
Which is connected. That's Square's who we're using for the new website. So with the new website comes the access. So like normally if you just went and got Square, you have to pay for like processing fees and things like that. With the website, there's a certain amount of time that it's free. And then there's a much lower cost of those processing fees because the website is through Square.
Oh, okay.
So like it's part of the, it's not less. It's just, we already pay for the membership or not the membership. We pay the subscription for the fee for the website. So it's part of that, but it is kind of a completely opposite thing of Venmo.
Yeah. Cause it requires a card.
Yes.
Payment. But yes. If we had it, someone could come in and pay their subdivision application fee with a card.
Mm-hmm.
Or their dump fees.
Or anything.
That's what Josh was trying. Because the way that, so what he's talking about too is, so we collect it immediately instead of a bill later.
Yeah.
Too. So don't come in and pay you pay it right then.
I think that's great.
And I don't, like Venmo is more consumer oriented. If you're a business and you want to pay a fee, I have my business set up through PayPal.
You have a credit card.
Yeah, you want to receive. Like, I don't want it through Venmo because that's just like this weird kind of slush fund thing that's bizarre. It's not clear cut for business use and write-offs and such. So I think we need both. We need both. So it'd be nice.
Yeah, Square and Venmo.
It'd be nice to get those implemented by next month. Another thing that I spoke with Lacey a lot about, investigate and test some transcription software for minutes. AI, there's different AI services, this is saving money, right? This is what we talked about in the last meeting. Like the two things we need to do are save money and make money primarily. So these should be like the top priority because we have basically one whole staff member who's doing nothing but minutes right now with all the minutes. Something that, and Lacey pushed back in my conversation. She was like, is there any other way we could simplify the minutes? John's proposed some alternative wording, but I looked at Utah League of Cities and Towns manual and the state code, and even any public open meeting, we have to record the substance of the conversation and who said it, or reference the timestamp in a recording at which that was said, which that's not easy. So there's not a good way. We can't just say, oh, it was a work meeting. I mean, we could, and we would be non-compliant for work meetings if we wanted to say there was a work meeting and the town council and planning commission discussed the subdivision application or new subdivision ordinance. And we could do that. We would not be technically compliant with state law.
I think you are on that only because a work meeting, nothing is voted on. So a work meeting is a little bit separate. So there's no public comment usually in a work meeting, and there's no decision making.
But there's no distinction between a work meeting and a business meeting. And it just says open meetings, any open meeting, right? So I'm okay if we want to move forward in simplifying our work meeting minutes and just providing a recording. That's fine with me. But it is technically not compliant with state law.
And I want to say, actually with state law too, and I can't remember it right now off the top of my mind, but it's actually kind of opposite. So as a town the size that we are, we actually are not required to have a recording available. The minutes are what's required. And I can't remember, but if you actually look in state code, as a town of certain size, because like Escalante doesn't post their recordings because they don't have to. So when we come to that,
but that's a whole separate section of code from the open meetings thing says in the minutes section, you don't have to do minutes if you reference the point in the recording.
Correct. So I just meant, but saying that you would only go to a recording.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Then we really have to have.
I think this is where the AI transcript becomes so important, that compared to listening to a 2-hour long recording and trying to find the point where something was said. You know, if we could combine action minutes with an AI recording, I think that we may find that meets the law and meets our needs quite well. So that's what I'd like to look at.
And for reference, you know, I recorded that executive session on my phone, and I noticed when we were walking in that it does transcripts and identified speakers. I looked through the transcript. It did okay. It was definitely not perfect. It identified 7 speakers. It was also my phone in the middle of a room and not mics set up. So, you know, basically the idea here is take a 30-minute segment of a meeting that we're having like this, maybe with some public comment, a complicated situation, throw it through 5 of these softwares, see how they do, see which one, if any of them work. And then if it looks like it's a lot faster to fix the transcript than it is to type up minutes, then we just do that. And we free up time to do more value-added stuff. And then there's other things we can look into. But that's, you know, as a money-saving measure, we have a whole deputy clerk that this is largely all she does is minutes. So it seems, and she is saying, it would be nice to have some not do all of these minutes.
Yeah.
So,
not very exciting.
So that's, I mean, I think we can all agree then that should be something that we investigate by the next meeting. Implementing Venmo should be easy. Let's take money. And then Square and the website, they're tied together. They don't have to be tied together. But, you know, I guess launch updated website was on my list because I think it is fairly close, right? Like, so, I mean, does it seem feasible to actually make that go live? You don't try and backlog all the data.
Mm-hmm. By next month.
Yeah. If we want to get all the data off of it, let's outsource that to somebody somehow. Let's think about that. I mean, people in town are probably definitely going to want it backlogged. Let me add that to my list.
I'm sure they will. I don't have any doubt. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's 20.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might, because right, basically, your understanding right now, Jessica, is that you have to like manually go through and click download on every link or something crazy, right? On every page to get all that, or?
I actually don't know, because I don't know that process at all. I just know it means someone has to go through and get it all. So I don't know what that means. And maybe for someone who knows what they're doing, we would pay more for it, but they would get it done faster. I don't know what it looks like.
There's got to be a way to access the file structure on the back end of the whole thing.
I think what you're talking about is minutes. So that's for us to get the backlog of minutes to be able to send to American Legal, we have to open up everyone. Thankfully, John has some on his, this is a task that John has taken on of getting the backlog of town council minutes. But if he doesn't have them, then you have to go on the website and download them.
The other important thing to bring up about this that I believe we discussed is the option of taking the current website and putting it on another, basically the whole thing, changing the address a little bit and creating a link on our new website that's like archived data on the old website, and then they can go browse that to their heart's content. That is an option, correct?
Right? Yeah, like, yeah, okay. We did talk about that. We're like, the only thing is that there is, you'd have to pay for the space of that website. So I don't think it's something long-term that we just want to leave living there. But as we're transitioning, it's definitely an option of putting the new website, yes, on a different web browser so you could still access it while we get the other thing though is that we were talking about everything we have is public record. And so we have it, you just need to ask for it. So yes, it is annoying and it is not as convenient as having it on the website for people who are looking. But while we're in that transition, we do not actually have to have it available. It's okay. We don't have to backlog it. That's our choice to do that. So just in that conversation.
That's a good plan. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not going to cost an arm and a leg while you're transitioning, people can get in and get to see what they want.
Okay. So that's it. That's it.
All right.
I talked with Erin. She is interested in starting on revising some of our forms, for example, the project approval. It's her understanding that we don't even have the Word documents in existence to revise. So we basically just need to rebuild them from scratch, which is fine because they're not even really forms. They're just pretty much Word documents anyway. I think it, and she's not billing all her hours out right now because there's not a lot going on at the moment waiting for the subdivision ordinance to come into play. So if that's something we would like her to begin working on. Okay.
We really need it.
Yeah, our forms are abysmal. It would be really helpful. Okay. And that was at her request. That's all. I talked with Cindy. There's going to be definitely some things that we need to start changing around her role as we try to come into compliance on the landfill and audit inspection and training and all this other stuff and a different form and fees. And so she's aware that there are changes coming and so we'll have to communicate with her as that comes online here in the next few months. Okay. That's it. So I'll send out a list to you. And then, we can is there like a staff at Boulder Town email list right now? That would be.
I don't think so.
Okay, let's create that real quick. Then it's just like a simple forward. That's a really easy thing to do. Okay, great. Okay, I'll follow up then after the meeting.
If I can, I have a couple comments on this. Okay, so John kind of said it in the beginning, but I do want to just reiterate this. So every time that you ask a staff to do something special, that does take away from their hours. And so most of you are pretty mindful of this, but I just want to make sure. So even the thing about asking Lacey to be the one to do the research on the AI and finding that out. So right now she's already at a maximum of 20 hours a month. And so it's also one of those things that we budget for that amount. And so when you ask her to do those things, it actually has to be a council decision that not only are you all agreeing on, okay, we all agree, we're going to ask Lacey to do this, but then you're all agreeing if she says she has the time to extend her hours to give her the opportunity to do that within the budget as well. And so I do appreciate this part being a conversation. It's really hard having the five bosses who want to tell you to do something. And having this format is much better because that we can't have five different bosses. The mayor is the one who talks to us. She directs us. And so that's the part of not just assigning things to the staff, but making sure that anytime that you ask of something, to make sure that you're going through all the process. So like this month already, Lacey already went over her hours. And so then when you're asking her to do the research behind it, does it make sense that it's actually her? You have to take that into accountability as it comes into that. And then if not, then who takes it on? And so that's the part of the discussion that you had is really great that just happened right now, but just making sure that that second part happens of like, so even though you ask Lacey, she's not budgeted to have that time.
Yes.
So then what does that look like? And so then everyone needs to follow through with that. Or does it mean a council member takes that on, or not in this realm, but like, this is when we decide if you hire something out instead, like you contract it out, just on that case. So there is a whole action of assigning these things that are not in our day-to-day roles.
That's why this should be a conversation, right? Like, tell us what's going on, tell you what we want done, and then we'll work together to determine what's a priority. So when I called Lacey, she was working on the July 25th meeting minutes. Well, they're not due for a month, so don't do those right now. Work on this, save some money first. Like, saving money and making money always have to be our top priorities, like the top priority in any business. Those are your two top priorities at all times. Everything else is wildly negotiable. But when it comes to saving money and making money, we have to make that happen. We just have to.
I agree.
But I want to say within reason of she is part-time, so it's on her time. And that's how the job was given to her. And so she may be doing the July minutes, but she might be busy for the next 3 weeks with her full-time job. And so if this was the only time and she just put in 10 hours in one day, and then you assign her this, well, she's already used half of her time. And so that may be your priority, but if she's already used up that time and it's a thing that she has scheduled, because that's actually state code, we have to get those minutes in. So yeah, she may have 3 more weeks to do that, but if she doesn't have time in her schedule to do that, that's what I mean, that this is the hard part of when you assign those things and then we have to justify, hang on, here's what I have this month. And so then we're actually spending more time and more money explaining what our priorities are, what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. And so that's where I get to that point of, yes, Lacey may have the time, she is doing that, but that's also because, again, she has a full-time job. And so if her time is limited, then you have this ability to tell her, here's what we need done. But the how to and when to do it, that's the part that was given to them when they got hired of, that's up to her to decide when she gets those tasks done. And so then what if she ends up on this and you ask her to do that and then she doesn't have time to do minutes and then we're behind on minutes.
Okay. But that's okay. I'd like to add something here to this conversation. One thing I said earlier when we were talking about this list, when we make assignments, we also have to figure out how we make room for that, which sometimes is, means something else doesn't get done. McFarland advocates action minutes, which doesn't quite meet state law, but there's a lot of room between almost a verbatim transcript like we've been doing and capturing the substance of the conversation. And that's something we could work on. So sometimes, yes, I've been in situations in industry where the workload was overwhelming. And you don't use it as an excuse, well, I can't solve my problem because I'm too busy putting out fires. You have to sometimes back off and say, let's figure out how to do this systematically and efficiently. So it should be a two-way conversation between the staff and the town council, with the mayor being the one who directs the staff, that, okay, here's how we're going to put the staff time where it's going to do the most value for the town while meeting our statutory requirements.
Okay, so this is my impression though. Gladys, I don't go to Jess and say, I need you to set up the Venmo or the QR. When we have this discussion like we just had, this is what I see we need to do, town board. And then the town board decides and says, okay, Jess, we want you, or we tell the mayor, we want you to see that QR codes get set up and the Venmo. So it isn't each, so we, and I don't go to Corey and I say, you do this. It's a town board decision about doing it. And then to me, we get input back from the staff and I say, hey, sorry, I can't do that. You got to decide what's most important.
May I say something?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason that I do the minutes, like I was doing the July 25th minutes, is because I was hoping to have all the TC minutes available to the town council for your August meeting so that you could approve them so that you wouldn't be stuck until September. So I kind of do them in a batch where I do like town council to try to get them all to you guys for your town council meeting. And then I try to do the planning commission for the planning commission meeting so that it doesn't go out another month. But that being said, there's been so many meetings last month and two of them I wasn't able to attend. So I had to go back and listen. So I'm just saying, I did tell Josh, it is an overwhelming amount of minutes sometimes it feels. And so, yes, if you could agree to somehow keep them very minimal, I don't know, you know, town code does say certain things, but if the town council agrees that that word for word is more public comments and everything else is summarized, that's also fine with me. And then we can look into the AI and that will go into my hours, but that's all I wanted to say.
So here's my question, because it was my assumption that you and John were going to look at AI because you were so familiar with it, because you knew, it sounded like you knew of other programs. So if Lacey is going to be required to do that, then what you know, let her know.
Well, I have, and I don't know anything about it other than 15 minutes of web searches turns up 10 different softwares.
Okay. So
that's,
you,
I don't,
so it wasn't something.
No. Okay. No, if I knew how to do it, we would be doing it.
Well, the way I took it was that you knew there was a lot of programs out there. Some were better than others. And the one last one that the first one, let's put it that way, that we tried was a disaster.
So, oh, right. Yeah. Through Zoom. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're asking Lacey to look this up then?
So let's do this then. Let's agree as a council to radically simplify our work meeting minutes to a dramatic extent. And I don't.
Did you just say work meeting minutes? That's it.
Yes. Let's just start with these work meetings.
So the only one that's a work meeting
is the.
We
second.
Haven't had any. No, those are special meetings. So their title is special. So that's, I want to make sure. So special meetings are where you're allowed to vote. We haven't had any work meetings. The planning commission is the only one who has a work meeting, and it's their second meeting of the month. And it can only be a work meeting if there's no voting items.
Okay.
So that's what, so that doesn't solve, because we've had special meetings. So they've all had action that's happened in them.
This is not in the open and public meetings training that we did, these distinctions. Like, where is this? Anyway, it's a separate thing. If you could send me the references, like, I would love to read more on it.
It's just an open meeting app.
I guess, I mean, we have the recordings available, except for the one weird thing that just happened. That was a weird glitch. But generally, for many years now, we've had full recordings available. I think people prefer to listen to them instead of read minutes. So, I mean, are we okay with simplifying our minutes?
I am very okay.
Okay. Lacey, would you like further direction on that? Or do you feel like, you know, you can take a stab at it? I don't.
I can definitely take a stab at it. That's
and then if we as a council say, this isn't working out, and we as a council say, hey, Lacey, you know what I mean? No, I'm definitely for simplifying things.
Okay. So we'll start with that. That should free up, you know, definitely a noteworthy amount of time, I would hope.
Just give me feedback. Just say like, hey, that wasn't enough information, you know?
What you do is take a snippet of a meeting and send it out and say, you know, even like this meeting, okay, here's, you know, well, this meeting's a bad example because we just voted the whole time.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I think you've done enough minutes to know that what fat could get cut out, I'm guessing. And we can be sparse, and someone can argue with us if it complies with state law or not. And I don't foresee that happening when we have full recordings available. I just don't see anyone and, caring.
You know, even I think when Judy did it, they were pretty simple. A lot of times she included some stuff, but they were, if it was a heavy meeting and controversial kind of thing. But I think for the most part, manually, she did a really good job. They've been there for, nobody complained, so.
They also didn't have 3 and 4 hour meetings repeatedly month after month. After month. Or 5 a month.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Right. I think that was
fantastic. So, Jessica. The approval of June and July checks.
And the reason you're redoing June is because they were part of the recording last month. So they're actually this, why we already did the county fire and the Boulder. So I just added them down here. If you will just reapprove the June and the July checks.
All right. Is there anyone in July?
Yeah. Quick question on the checks. I see a couple big bills for the air conditioner, but I've been told that there's a lot more coming. Do we have an idea what we need to spend on the town hall air conditioning and whether that should be a capital budget item?
Yeah, so the capital project, or sorry, the air conditioner, it's kind of a hard thing because he just now gave us those bills, but he's actually been trying to help us solve this since last year. And he kind of just lumped them in as one as he kept either charging it or redoing it. The estimate right now for the air conditioner is $4,995.
Whoa.
And I get permission for them to go ahead with it because it was under the $5,000, and it's taken us forever to get him in here to get anything
done. And it's also our heating too, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It's both. So yeah, so it's not something we just like skip because we're almost out of summer. It affects the heating also.
Okay, so we expect that to be about 4,000 in the end for all they work. Okay, thank you.
Wait, 4,900. So yeah. we're almost at the 5,000.
Okay.
Okay.
It's enough that we could justify taking. And this is actually a replacement, isn't it, Jessica?
Yeah, it's a complete replacement. We can't.
Yeah, we might want to treat that as a capital expense then, rather than a big hit on our operating budget. We can discuss that next month, but okay, this puts the bills in context. So thank you.
That's a great point.
Yeah. All right, I'll entertain a motion to pass the checks, approval for the June and July checks.
I'll move.
Okay, go ahead, John.
I'll move to approve the June and July checks.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye. Those opposed say no.
John, aye.
Josh, aye.
Gladys, aye.
Judy, aye. All right. Business for September.
Okay.
The fee schedule.
Yep.
So I actually want to just make sure. Okay. So on my list, so I have the public hearing for the RV ordinance. And then with that becomes a discussion and possible vote with the RV ordinance. Now, what Michael is talking about of adding an entire new ordinance to, or a new chapter to the ordinance, and then putting that in under the appeals and penalties, remedies, whatever, that also needs a public hearing, or are we not quite to that point where you'll want a public hearing in September for that?
It sounded like he will have a draft available for us to do public comment on. That was my take home.
That's kind of what I got. So I have that we will actually have a public hearing for both the RV ordinance and then the new chapter that he will come up with. And then they will both have discussion and votes on them. And then I talked to Gladys about an Independence Day recap, just kind of like we did last year, presenting the financials and kind of just what happened with that. I don't know if you just want to recap. I do think it's something to talk about, just the Independence Day celebration in general for next year. We wanted to do that last year, but the whole council was changing, so we couldn't put it in early. But if that can happen in September too, of deciding, like, is the town still taking it on? If so, a council member should be appointed in that September meeting, if we could do it all, or if everyone's only ready to have the recap, whatever that looks like. The next one I would like to have is like a budget financial review. So because we are now at the end of the fiscal year, we've gotten everything reconciled. We just went through this financial audit. I think it would be a good time to kind of have an updated discussion of what we've been working on. We have actual correct numbers for everyone. And so I would love that to be a discussion that we can kind of have to be able to present all of that to the council in that September meeting. And then I have the same thing that Josh said. And then one more thing, only because you guys brought up, okay, so that pay schedule revisement. So when you all in the last meeting voted the pay schedule changes for my role and then Lacey's role, there was talk, but no action on, like, so the existing pay schedule, I think it's a pay schedule, and like where it at. So there's a certain percentage that it moves up every year, but it doesn't take into account
inflation.
And from the people that we've heard, accountants, other people who've worked, there's usually two parts to that. So you put the one in that has the percentages that go up, but then the second one is the inflation. And so as that was something that was talked about, that would be a nice discussion to like kind of wrap up the pay schedule so that it's actually like on par for everyone, only because we did just give the fiscal raises to myself and Corey, because that's when they came into play. You do have a little bit more time. The next like anniversary date of anyone's pay, Cindy, is this month, and then not again until November. So just so that you guys kind of know, but I do think that that discussion kind of needs to continue.
Yes.
Just to make sure that it's actually like not hanging.
John or Judy, could we reach out to Roger and just have him tell us how that's done usually or whatever? Sure. Just have him give us.
Yeah. I've got it. Since I'm on vacation and have a lot on my plate, I've volunteered for, maybe Roger could help us with the rest of the town pay scale. That'd be a great request to him.
He's going to call me.
Yeah, plus it's nice having somebody who's outside the town help us get a perspective on where our pay should be.
That's all I had. What else did you have?
Josh already mentioned we should continue the work on the fees. Thank you, Jessica, for putting up the town pay scale. We should, I guess, as part of that financial review and looking at going into this year's budget, look at capitalizing the air conditioner as just a part of that overall discussion. The other thing, I've got the floor for a second here. I do want to say, I haven't heard anyone thank Jessica at this meeting, and I do want to thank her for everything she's done in helping to keep things going. And I really appreciate everything that she's had to go through in the last month or so. So thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, she does.
But, okay, one more thing. The Mosemans approached me again that they would like to take their weather station back.
Oh, yeah.
They claim it's theirs. It was moved over here apparently from Lawrence property right here. Maybe next month we need to decide what.
If it's theirs, we'll miss it. We're used to having it there, but.
Now there'll be a pretty bench.
Yeah, the bench will be there.
It's on the same spot, but
okay.
You know, I really
need a new weather station.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not worth having it bit over. Maybe we'll go out and take some quick pictures and like we did the elk down in the field when they got burned up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird argument, I guess.
I don't know if she still has it up, but either Troy or Elizabeth has their hand up if you want to acknowledge. Troy or and Elizabeth has their hand up as a comment. I don't know what.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to apologize. I told John that I was going to be here tonight, and I guess I missed the conversation about all the grant stuff. So I just wanted to let you know I am here, even though I'm late. And I have my information available if there's any questions, or I don't know what happened. So I got to the computer late. So anyways, I'm available if you want me.
All right, we appreciate it. We rescinded accepting the grant money. So as of right now, it's no longer a subject till later on. But thank you, Troy. And is that it for, okay.
One more item. Nancy just messaged me that the Planning Commission may have something on the subdivision ordinance for the September by the September Town Council meeting. I think that's optimistic, but
we'll see what we do with all this. Something may have the slides because this is going to be a pretty big meeting.
But yeah, I don't think we need to schedule a public hearing, but we may want a discussion on their work in progress.
That's fine.
Depending on what they do at their August work meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. Heads up. All right. If nobody has anything else to say, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Might be the fastest meeting yet.